man, our leader's demonstration of generic man, 1987, by Paul R. Smiley, the Gethsemane Foundation. The following quotes of Mrs. Eddy are of interest at this point. The sick are healed to all appearance, and the gospel is taught by mortal mind. But the fact remains that only the immortal mind can heal the sick or save the sinner. Divine love knows that love is light, even that light which is the life of man. Divine love knows his window and knows that it gives light, not darkness, and is the means of love's entrance into the hearts of men. The wonder is that aught can make God's window seem to be what it is not. It was the doubt and ignorance of what Jesus was and did for all mankind that shut out and still shuts out the light of love. What if the window does offend the senses with the objects it reveals and the path it points out? It is love's window and love's revelation to mankind. The good gaze at last with gratitude and joy on what they had not seen, but now see through the window that disturbed the senses, but pointed the way in science. Quote from Footsteps by Carpenter. Page 10. How do you know I am a window pane for the light to shine through? By the works. That's from DCC. The following quotes of our leaders show the necessity of keeping our thought about Mrs. Eddy correct. The united plans of the evildoers is to keep Mrs. Eddy as she is. What God knows of her and revealed to Christ Jesus, out of sight, and to keep her as she is not, just another white-haired old lady, constantly before the public. This kills two birds with one stone. It darkens the spiritual sense of students and misguides the public. Why? Because it misstates the idea of divine principle that you are trying to demonstrate and hides it from the sense of people. DCC. Keeping the truth of her character before the public will help the students and do more than all else for the cause. Christianity in its purity was lost by defaming and killing its defenders. Do not let this period repeat this mistake. The truth in regard to your leader heals the sick and saves the sinner. The lie has just the opposite effect and the evil one that leads all evil in this matter knows this more clearly than do the Christian Scientists in general. It's from Collectania. When a student loses the true sense of me and what I do, he is at the threshold of the plunge so many make into darkness, believing that darkness is a greater light. Collectania. Take up at once. Students shall know their duty to their leader. Grace, divine, yet lays many burdens on human hearts unworthy to bear them. When will blind eyes see their leader as she is? D.C.C. For the world to understand me in my true light and life would do more for our cause than aught else could. This I learn from the fact that the enemy tries harder to hide these two things from the world than to win any other points. Also, Jesus' life and character in their first appearing were treated in like manner, and I regret to see that loyal students are not more awake to this great demand in their measures to meet the enemy's tactics. Letter to Edward Kimball, 1893. The importance of upholding the hands of the wayshower cannot be overemphasized. In the time of Moses, it was vitally important that his hands were held up in time of battle. When they were not held up, the battle went against the Israelites. That is how important one man or woman can be, not because of their own power, but because they are God's messenger to the age. When Miriam and Aaron questioned Moses' authority and thought they were just as good as he was, they both received a strong rebuke, and Miriam contracted leprosy. She was diseased because she thought she was just as important as her brother Moses. Apparently, God did not agree with Miriam. Does God think we are all equal with Mary Baker Eddy? Our salvation rests in how we treat her. Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Had not Jesus told them what would happen because of the way they treated him? Of course he did. Jesus railed against the Pharisees because they kept the nation from being converted to the truth. And how did they do this? By rejecting the representative of God. Ingratitude for the representative is ingratitude for God, and this disposition forfeits divine help, dissolves all of the progress made by God's witness, and dooms mankind to suffering. in whatever age the Pharisaical thought appears, it always considers itself righteous and its teachings correct. The danger of this thinking is that it is always sure it is correct. We always find the Pharisaical thought rejecting the one God has given them for their correction. In retrospection and introspection, we read, each individual must fill his own niche in time and eternity. And those who resist and retard the demonstration of the stars of the first magnitude deprive themselves of the place God had for them. When out of that place, they are out of the kingdom. Why is this? The place that they might have filled and might have been effective in is not theirs, because the only place they can have is supporting those working for God on the highest level. Working to obscure Mrs. Eddy's place harms all mankind and those doing so within our church are responsible for the most heinous crime ever perpetrated upon mankind, and they will reap what they sow. They will not awake to living glory. And as the deepest night descends upon the earth once again, and the darkest of the dark ages spreads its pall over the earth, the angels ask each Christian Scientist, why couldn't you have loved her a little? Why did you deny her? The anguished cries will come back, I don't know. And they will be informed that they have lost the science of their own being. The angels will ask, why didn't you read your Bibles? There are so many examples of what happened to those who rejected God's best witnesses. Whole nations were destroyed for their disobedience and hatred of these individuals. But you had access to the greatest of all, and you laughed at those who loved her, and to those who professed love for Mrs. Eddy. The angel will say to them, why couldn't you have loved her enough to stand up for her? Where was your moral courage? Page 11. Everyone will wonder how it all happened. The glory of our civilization. All lost. How could it have fallen? But they all saw it falling and pretended it was not happening. As the Christian Scientists are asked again and again why they could not have followed her just a little, they will go into darkness, weeping and wailing for what they could have done and should have done and did not do. God had given them a task to support his best witness, and they rejected her and thus rejected the one giving them the task. Do they deserve a second chance? Now, that sounds fair, but there are no second chances here. Those former Christian scientists who sought to douse the light of love for their leader and who too late found the fruits of their folly know fully now what the sins against the Holy Ghost are. Now they learn what Jesus meant when he said, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." That's from Mark. Those who rejected Mrs. Eddy worked to keep every child, man and woman, on the globe from receiving the science of their own being. Then, in a last-ditch effort, the guilty say, "Why, this can't be. I'm God's perfect child." And the angel will answer back, "Yes, but you did not find that out by yourself. You did not love the one who struggled her entire life to give you that truth. You rejected the one who taught you that, who loved you enough to lift you up to that point of understanding, and your disobedience, lack of love, arrogance, self-will, and so forth, has placed you where you must be. You could not stand before the one you called in name only, your leader. You would be embarrassed beyond measure. Jesus said, 'I know you not.' You cannot enter, nor can you have the light. Now you must overcome the errors of your foul character by yourself, your own way, for you no longer have the science." Your brother in crime, the rich Dives, could not enter because he would not give of his meager substance. You had it all and were not grateful for the one making it possible for you. This is far more ingratitude than that expressed by Dives, and you didn't deprive just one poor beggar from a little food. You kept all mankind from the science of their own being. Now, what do you think about your efforts to rid the movement of its leader, who you called in your innermost thoughts an embarrassment? But I am a teacher, board member, practitioner. Well, says the angel, that makes your sin even more serious. Everyone you taught, every decision you made, everyone you prayed for, you imbued with a false sense, an immoral sense of ingratitude and indifference because of your rejection and disloyalty towards the great lady. How could you have been so callous, so unthinking, so unkind. Didn't Jesus and the prophets warn you? Oh, says the criminal, let me go back and warn them. The angel says, it's too late. It cannot be retrieved now. You have rejected and killed off every one of those who loved her, who could have saved the world. In your jealous zeal, you have assured that the dark ages have come again. Why would you expect everlasting glory for the grievous sin you have committed against all mankind? There has never been anyone on earth who loved you more. Couldn't you have at least left those alone who loved her? Did you have to harass them, hound them, kill them? Do you not remember that if one righteous had been found in Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities could have been saved? You made sure your nation could not be saved. There may be some consolation for you, however. There is a more serious crime than yours. There are some who have professed an unswerving love for the woman, even understood her place in prophecy, but would not stand against those who sought to destroy this lady and her church. They called their cowardice wisdom. Their anguish is so severe that they will not look me in the face. They let you and your silly friends get away with destroying the world and placing it back in the darkest of the dark ages. One's sin is in direct proportion to the revelation he has understood. Some important questions follow. 1. Did Jesus measure his every word so as not to antagonize the Pharisees, placating and mollifying them, that he might protect his students? And he had no constitution to protect himself or them. But we do. 2. After their leader left them, were the disciples afraid to speak out and use his name? And were they embarrassed by his name? And they did not have the full rights of religious liberty. But we do. 3. Was Paul cautious not to offend the authorities for fear of harming his pupils' chances of carrying on? And was Paul afraid of losing his effectiveness? And he was not living under the Declaration of Independence, but we are. 4. Do you think Elijah would have enjoyed hearing from at least a few of the timid remnant of 7,000 who would not speak to him or for him, the one God sent? They had no Bill of Rights, but we do. How many of today's remnant are afraid to speak up for their leader. In Matthew 10, we read, "Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." The Amplified Version reads, "He who receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Paul R. Smiley, April 6, 1987. This is the end of page 11 and the end of the article entitled "Our Leader's Demonstration of Generic Man."